Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Please like, follow, comment, and subscribe, and you can download for free so that you never ever miss an episode of this uplifting, inspiring, and encouraging show. My guest today is Van Brown. He is an author, leader, teacher, husband and father, and advocate for the true leader and purpose in you. Y'all, I pulled that from his book and his notes. His latest book is titled Love Symptoms: Diagnosing and Curing the Common Illness in Love and Relationships. And he studies long-term marriages and relationships. And his book, Love Symptoms, breaks those relationships and the principles of them down for us. So, Van Brown, welcome to the show.
Hi. So I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you, Lynn, for providing a platform where people could be inspired and impacted in order to be successful in their lives. So I'm really appreciative of this time.
You're welcome. And it's just wonderful, like I said, to have you on. I'm just really, really curious about you and your book. Now, understand that you're originally from Nassau, the Bahamas?
Yes, I am. I came here in 2000. So I've been here for 22 years and change.
Oh, wow. So, and you are in Los Angeles now?
Yes, I am in Los Angeles. I reside in the Woodland Hills area. You might be familiar with that.
Yes, I am. You're as a former LA girl. Now, what was it like for you growing up in the Bahamas? Because I read you were like one of six children.
Yes, it was beautiful in the sense of no matter where you were always 10 minutes away from the beach. No matter where on the island you were 10 minutes away from the beach. And it was such a beautiful landscape. The weather is always great. You had siblings that you could be friends with. You didn't have to go outside of your home in order to. My brothers were my best friends. And oh, so that's the relationship that was so beautiful. I had a great childhood in spite of the limitations in terms of finances.
Now, understand that you were a shy kid, but since you said that, you know, you had a wonderful childhood, so I guess it was a household filled with love, but you were still a shy kid.
Yes, I don't know how it started. I think this is one of the things I'm researching, simply because each individual, each kid, even though they're in the same home and the parents may be giving the same love, one dosage doesn't fit all. And I think it's the parents' job to figure out what their kid really needs in order to pull them out of themselves. And I remember when my aunts and uncle would come into town, and I will always be on the couch sitting up watching TV, and the charismatic ones will be off playing. And so I remember my aunts and uncle would tap me on the forehead, and they said, where's Sydney? Where's Rondon? And I realized that my personality garnered me this level of attention, but I noticed other kids would get the brunt of their affection, attention, simply because there was a payoff. And some of that drew me further and further into myself, basically symbolizing that my personality doesn't determine the attention that I deserved. So psychologically, I picked that up. And it wasn't until I started venturing out and dating is where I realized how much that lack of stimulation paralyzed me in terms of my confidence.
You said the lack of stimulation is paralyzed you and your confidence. That's interesting.
Right. Because I'm learning that every time we talk about love, we talk about it in a romantic setting, but our parents are our first love. And every adult that encompasses that, aunts and uncle, and the confidence and the attention to detail that they put in you cause you to thrive in terms of your confidence and your self-esteem. So if early on, if your self-esteem only garnered a tap on the head and say, okay, where are the other kids? Every time you're talking to me, you're asking about the other kids and you're inquiring about me. It didn't affirmed me. It didn't cause me to think highly of myself. And so when I started to date, I dated other women simply because I wanted to merge lives with them, because I didn't want to feel invisible.
Does that mean, Van, that you are the shy one? So does that mean you were attracted to women that were more extrovert or more outspoken?
Yes, I was attracted to more women that were more extrovert, but also more visually stimulating, simply because I loved the attention that they garnered, because it was the complete opposite of what my experience was. But the problem with that was, because I was relating, I came into the relationship with not the right intentions, meaning just to give. I truly believe that the true essence of every relationship is you entering to it wanting to give. And because of that organic expression, it creates an atmosphere for the relationship to flourish. But because there was a need and deficiency in me, I chose the wrong people, because my choice was predicated on my deficiency. And that led me to picking the wrong clients. Therefore, they abused me, because they knew that they could get away with it because they had something that I needed.
So is that like, Van, say for instance, someone had mommy issues, and this man looks for, or they're attracted to women that are very, very motherly, like, kind of like that?
Yes, it is. Because what we fail to realize is very seldom human beings do an internal review on themselves to see who raised them and what was deposited inside of them and what are the deficiencies. All of us have some sort of deficiencies, some more subtle than others where you can tell, and then some are more obvious. And because of those deficiencies, we choose people according to those traits and the familiarity of everything we've experienced. But the problem with that is, because we didn't come to the table whole, knowing who we are and knowing what we want to give and having a good sense of confidence about ourselves, we enter into relationships needing certain things. And when the person are unwilling or incapable of filling those needs, here comes this broken down relationship, because two people want something and each person are incapable or of giving it. And this is where the relationship starts to deteriorate and all kind of domestic violence and all of these things ensues, because both parties came into the relationship with selfish agenda. See, there's a truth about love. If I want to be successful at loving someone, I first have to know what it is. I first also have to know what are the attributes I have to have in order to love. What is my attitude concerning love? But if I don't have these things and I just go into a relationship because I'm 6'2", 210 pounds, and I'm an adult with a driver's license that life suggests that I'm an adult, but psychologically, I'm still operating from the mindset of a 15-year-old, because I was never affirmed and I never built myself up to remove those holes that life had put inside of me.
How does a shy person like you learn all of this stuff, like 20 years worth of research that went into this subject of love and functions of being and all that stuff? How did you get to this point?
Great question. Great question. I know for sure all of the crisis and even the deficiencies that we faced, the things that our parents were unwilling or incapable of giving to us, because 9 times out of 10, they only model what was given to them. And so because of the consistent fall down in relationships, I realized that, okay, after the third or fourth relationship failure, the person leaving and cheating, I said, okay, there is something that I have to get right. And there was this one defining relationship where she left with no reason, no explanation. And because I couldn't get an explanation, I went into the library. I literally went into the library and I read every single book I could find on love and relationships, because I wanted to understand what I did wrong. Mm-hmm. And all of these books led me to one of my first spiritual teachers, Dr. Miles Monroe. And then I had the pleasure of sitting down with him, and he taught me the principles of what it is to be a man, what it is to be a woman, what is marriage, what is relationship, what is the attitude. And so he gave me a healthy foundation that I didn't have before. And then I started to still do my own spiritual research, and I'm an avid reader. My goal every month is to read 4 books a week, because I realized that ignorance cost me in the beginning. So I refuse to be ignorant about love and relationships and anything that I'm getting into. And it was my passion that I didn't want another human being to feel the hurt and the disrespect that I felt. And I said, okay, I got to create this book, because now that I have this wisdom, my relationship has changed. I have a wife and a son, and my relationship has flourished. I said, okay, let me package this, because I don't want another human being to go into something and experience pain and devastation unnecessarily. So the book was born out of purpose.
Out of purpose. So I wish I had your book. Oh, that's a whole nother conversation. So in Love, Symptoms, Diagnosing, and Curing Common Illnesses in Love and Relationships, you simplify relationship principles that one can apply to their life. So simplify some things. Tell me some things that are in there.
Okay, the first thing that will free us is, first, we have to understand that love is not a feeling, it's a decision. That is the most fundamental truth that will bless you, that will save you years and decades of heartbreak if we just get that one thing. Simply because when you look up the dictionary, Oxford, any of those dictionary, Webster, and they give you the definition of love, this is the reason why we're failing, Lynn. The exact description says, love is an intense feeling or passion towards something or someone. Now, I've read at least 5 or 6 different dictionaries, and they all say the same thing. Love is an intense feeling or passion towards something or someone. So what they're saying to me, Lynn, is this. It doesn't matter if me and my wife have been together for 10 years. We have 2 children. The minute I no longer feel like loving her, I have the right to leave. Because you're telling me that love is an intense feeling. But from a spiritual standpoint, love is a decision, because life will always present different emotions, simply because there's death in the family, loss of the job, turbulent in family members. And sometimes our smile is wiped away temporarily. And the only thing that keeps you is your decision. So love is a decision, knowing that this is the person that I choose to love. So me loving them is not predicated on their performance, but is more predicated on my decision, which keeps me non-emotional about loving this human being. If we could get that. Second point, forgiveness comes before the apology. All over the world, husband and wife, brother, sister, father, son, they haven't spoken in years, months, because they're waiting for the apology in order to play nice again. But the manual says, blessed are the peacemakers. It didn't say, blessed are the peacemakers who are right. So it is that. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. So, Lynn, if I want to be successful at loving someone, I have to know that the principle is forgiveness comes before the apology. Because forgiveness is an olive branch for love and reconciliation to be possible. We are going to make mistakes. It doesn't matter how much you love someone. We're going to make simple mistakes. Sometimes conscious we're making mistakes. But the beautiful part of it is, how do we recover? Do we have the humility to say, please forgive me, I was wrong? Or the person say, I forgive you, without even the apology. Because when you love someone, it goes back to the first principle. When you love someone, the decision causes you to forgive even before the apology, because you recognize, even in your disappointment, can you still remember that you love that person, even in the midst of your disappointment?
So even in the midst of their trauma they may have caused you, you should, well, forgiveness has to go there. If you are planning to reconcile, move forward, anything, you got to first do forgiveness and then the apology.
Right. Just think about it. We would want that same grace if we were the one that made that mistake. So we could only give to our neighbors what we would require of ourselves. And the greatest thing is this. What if your forgiveness blesses that person in such a tremendous way that they cause them to see a better side of themselves? See, only, I'm going to say something really crazy.
Okay.
So buckle up.
Okay, I'm strapped in. Okay.
True love. Now, hear me out on this. True love, mm-hmm. agape love, can only be administered when the person doesn't deserve it.
Okay.
Lynn, if you buy me a gift on my birthday, then I turn around and buy you a gift. That's not necessarily love. It's reciprocity. Give you, you give me, I give you. But it's when that person doesn't deserve it, when that person did the complete opposite of what love represents, and I still come towards you with love and tenderness, in that moment, I'm exhibiting agape.
Yeah, I needed to strap in for that one. Yeah, when I think about my own personal life, I think I've done a lot of forgiving. I think I have. Yes, I know I have. I've done a lot of forgiving. Forgiveness frees you to love again, to move on.
Right. Yes. That's another key principle.
I got a principle, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
I know you a scholar. You sharp. Because remember, even though forgiveness blesses the individual you're speaking to, forgiveness is more for you, because guess what you're doing? You're freeing yourself from this spiritual toxic tug of war. Every time you see the person, you tense up. Every time you think about them, all this emotion flow into your body that produces sickness and overgrown cells. So when you forgive that person, you are literally freeing yourselves of future pain and infections and symptoms, because you decide to forgive. We don't know how powerful forgiveness is. It frees you from cancer and all kind of unnecessary disease, because doctors will tell you that the number one cause of diseases is stress and depression, which comes from toxic relationships. So if I decide to forgive, I'm freeing myself of a life worth of pain and mental illness.
You made,
don't see it that way.
No, I guess we don't, but I'm zoned into that when you're talking about a lot of our health issues result from that. And
yes.
I remember reading about, especially with African-American women, how they have high rates of fibroids, uterine fibroids, and a lot of it's because of the stress and the type of life that we lead, and all that stuff that we just retain from being, and a lot of it's from being hurt over and over and over again.
And carrying things that you shouldn't carry. Men leaving, and then you bearing the brunt of the children and carrying this load that you shouldn't carry. And that's why in my book, I say, no, you're the most important decision you will ever make, other than your spiritual walk, is who you would choose as a mate. Because this will determine your sanity and your joy. Because once you give yourself to someone, it's hard to walk away after you're emotionally attached. Now you're tied to this thing, and the person is not loving you the way you deserve to be loved. And that's why I say, in the beginning, stop talking about feelings. Make sure that this person, this woman or this man, it's okay if they say they love you, but the most important thing is investigate, do they love themselves? Remember, because the good book says, I only can love you to the same degree as I love myself. So if I'm only loving myself 30%, how can you expect 100% from me? We don't pay attention to this, Lynn, and I know my father has sent me to destroy some ignorance out there, because we're walking down the aisle in $30,000 gowns and tailor-made tuxedos, and we only got 30% love for ourselves. But everything looks good, everything looks beautiful, and then we get home and we unravel each other, and after 6 months or so, the novelty is worn off, and now the true human beings have emerged. The tolerance they can't handle, the patience is non-existent, the humility is foregone. They don't understand how they prepared for the marriage, but they never learned how to live with the human being. And that's our problem.
Good information there to work from the book. It seems like it's really phenomenal. Like, I've pulled bits and pieces from it, and it is definitely a tool that people will be able to use to help their relationships, and to understand some of the trauma that exists there, and how to forgive. And forgiveness, like we said, is freedom. So
yes.
how do we find your book. They got to find this book. Now, y'all need to get this because there's a whole lot of messed up relationships out there and stuff right. We need to find out about ourselves before we get deep off into one.
You could go to Amazon.com and type in Love Symptoms Van Brown. It will automatically pop up. And then also you could go to my website, VanBrown.com. We're going to be in Barnes & Noble's real soon. That's coming. But as of now, Amazon and VanBrown.com website.
Amazing, amazing. You know, I forgot to ask you about Love Symptoms. Why did you title this book Love Symptoms before we go?
Beautiful question. It's because all over the world, we've been manipulated. And Valentine's and all of these different events, we give flowers, chocolates, fancy dinners, fancy trip as an expression of our love. And I didn't want the people who are getting into relationships to be duped, because it's possible to give those things and not love the individual. Those things are just symptoms of love, but they're not actually love. Because I could give flowers, chocolates, fancy dinners, fancy trips, and not love the person simply because I want something. But it's impossible for me to love and not give. But it's possible for me to give and not love. So the reason why I call it Love Symptoms, because I wanted people to understand, don't get caught up in the symptoms of love. Go to the root and make sure that this person actually loved themselves. Therefore, they could genuinely love you. Don't get caught up in the fancy dinner, the fancy ambiance, the flowers, the chocolates. No, that's just kindness. Kindness can be expressed at any time. What is motivating my kindness? Is it I just want something physical and then I'm out? Or is it long term? I really want a life with you. You have to be sober in understanding what's happening. So that's the reason why I call it Love Symptoms. I want it the individual, and it's thought provoking.
Because I looked at him going, Love Symptoms, what are Love Symptoms? Let me talk to him, find out what these Love Symptoms are. Oh, wow. Well.
Let me give you a perfect example.
Okay.
My wife, I could be irritated all day, not doing my work, snapping at my wife, and then also not finishing my duties, but these are just symptoms of a bigger issue. But if you just focus on the symptoms and just labeled me, oh, he's grumpy today, and dismissed me, then you've just missed the opportunity to love. But if you came close and said, man, what's going on? This is not you. You're snapping at people. You're not finishing your work. Okay, what is the root of these symptoms? See, we focus on the symptoms and we don't go to the root of the issue. And that's the greatest way you could love someone. Don't focus on the symptoms and don't take the symptoms personally. Come closer and say, hey, what's going on? Is there anything I could do? Because the person is just crying out. Addiction is a form of symptoms. Infidelity is a form of symptom. It's not the root. There's a deeper root on why the person is doing what they're doing.
There always is. And so that's a great reminder for us to not just jump to conclusions that when somebody's acting out of character, that there possibly is some trauma behind that or something that's going on in that person that's deeper than what you see or know.
Right.
All right, Brother Van Brown, author of Love Symptoms, Diagnosing and Curing the Common Illness in Love and Relationships. This has been wonderful. It has been enlightening, and found out I knew some stuff I did not know that I knew. I think I got that right. So you can find his book on Amazon, and it's coming on Barnes & Noble. And you can search for it wherever you get your books. Is it going to be available in an audio version?
Yeah, it's coming out real soon in audio version. And you can also get it on my website, VanBrown.com.
Well, thank you once again, author, teacher, educator, relationship expert, a former shy kid, Van Brown. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. And I hope whenever you come to LA, we can meet face to face and shake hands and just say hello.
And audience, I want to thank you for joining us today as usual. Don't forget to subscribe so that you never ever miss an episode of this uplifting and inspiring show, so go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Now, if you'd like to reach me, Lynn Woods, you can find me on Twitter. That's at Lynn Woods, LINWOODS. or Instagram at Linwoods 96, or Facebook or LinkedIn at just Lynn, L-I-N, last name Woods, W-O-O-D-S. This has been the Linwoods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. God bless.